From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of June 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County will be along to look at the cash grain market. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, your own Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Dave Dickey, will be here with a look at the agricultural news for the afternoon. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. From the University of Illinois. You can always find us online at willag.org.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished up at 2 o'clock today. Remember, we'll give you the electronic trade during the Closing Market Report and how it settled up. These are not, of course, settlement prices from 115, but the latest trade from Chicago. July soft red winter wheat at 625 and three quarters, finished 13 and a half higher. September at 642, up 11 and a quarter. The hard red July in Kansas City settled at $6.55. It was up 18 at the end of the trading day. Corn pit in Chicago up 16 cents, actually, the electronic trade at $5.67.5. September at $5.26, up 11 and a quarter. In December futures, $5.22, up 12. The March at $5.33 and three quarters, up 12 and three quarters. And May corn at $5.43 and a quarter at the finish of the electronic trade at 2 o'clock Central Time, up 14 and a half cents. Next year's July at $5.50 and three quarters, up 14 and three quarters. In December of 2013 at $5.21 and three quarters a bushel, up 7 1/4 in the corn pit. July bean futures at $13.39 and a half, down 4 3/4. August settled higher in Chicago for the pit trade, but settlement price for their final trade for the electronic was down a penny at $13.17 and a half. In September, $12.90 and a half, up 5 cents there. November beans at $12.67, up 9. January at $12.70, up 9 1/4. Bean meal futures up $2 at $3.96.50. Bean oil at $48.32, down 27. Live cattle futures finished the August at $119.97 and a half, up 37 and a half. September feeders at $159.67 and a half, $1 higher. And July lean hogs at $91 and a nickel, finished 42, rather 52 and a half cents lower on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil, July contract, $84.18 a barrel, up 94 cents. Ethanol at $2 and a penny, 3.5 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.41 and 6 cents, up 9 cents for the day. Heating oil at $2.63 and 3 cents, that's 5 tenths of a cent lower on the rather higher on the afternoon. And the gold futures at $1,612.20 an ounce, down $8.30. The dollar at 82.56, that's down 0.32. And the Commodity Research Bureau Index, or CRB Index, at 270 even, up 1.69 for the day. The weather forecast from the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says that showers are likely, a possible thunderstorm or two. It'll be mostly cloudy, a high of 73 degrees on an east wind between 7 and 11. Chance of precipitation this afternoon set at 60% across the area. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 53 with a northeast wind at 6 to 11, gusting all the way to 15 this evening. And then tomorrow, we'll see mostly sunny skies and a high of 77 degrees on a northeast wind at 6 to 10. Tuesday night, partly cloudy at a low of 55, and east-northeast wind at 6 to 9 miles an hour. Wednesday, sunny skies and 77. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 56. On Thursday, sunny skies return, a high of 78 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear. It'll drop to 59. And on Friday, sunny skies and 81. Friday night, mostly clear and 62. Saturday, sunny and 85. Saturday night, clear and 66. And by the time we get to Sunday, we should see sunny skies and 88 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. You can always hear us anytime you'd like off our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
High Gleason services are made available to WILL.
It is a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural commodity markets is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, nice little turnaround after kind of a rough week in Chicago last week for the grains and commodities. A bit higher for the day today.
Yeah, we're able to hold the gains today versus Friday's action. Had real strong markets and gave up the ship as the day went on, especially in the last few hours of trade. But we saw a little bit more encouraging news. Everybody came to work Monday, no end to the world as far as, you know, the world news for, say, right at the moment here. So that gave the market a little bit of stabilization. I know Greece still has some elections to go through here in mid-June. We'll see what happens there, but that's going to keep the world news up and down, up and down. But for the most part, ideas are that we corrected enough in here that world demand or end-user demand should pick up. We did sell 165,000 tons of beans to China. There's talk of maybe as much as 300,000 tons of corn being business being done to Asia. So we'll look for confirmation as we go along there. Then lastly, too, the weather forecast in general is a little warmer and drier here as we go through the week, and ideas are that even though we did receive some rains here, which will help stabilize a crop and help the crop in some areas, we might see a slight dip in the good to excellent category in this afternoon's crop conditions report, Todd.
How far down are the expectations from the trade for that to drop today?
It's anywhere from 1% to 3% lower. I think last week we were at 72% good to excellent as a nation. Ideas are that could slip to maybe 71% and maybe as low as 69% as a nation. The tough one would be when you start looking at individual states. Illinois was 66% good to excellent versus 79% the week prior to that. Indiana, 57%. Iowa was 77%. The best was Minnesota, 84%, followed up by Nebraska at 79%. So we'll see how those individual states fluctuate. There's some good areas and there's some poor areas, but the weather forecast from here on out, or actual amounts of rain and heat, will make that good excellent category go up and down from these levels here. Beans expected to start out at 69% good excellent here this afternoon, Todd.
Are you concerned at all about the corn market at this time, or is it lost enough ground that you're feeling more of a bottom in this marketplace?
Well, I think from a producer's point of view, our risk is still to the downside here. You know, we continue, even though there's deficit soil readings out there, as long as we receive timely rains, we're still in the camp to have a decent crop. Over the short term in here, I think we're oversold enough here that we'll recover. I think there's enough news in here to maybe generate a two-sided trade. I think we're going to see some down trading affair. From a trader's point of view, I think you buy the down days and sell the up days. I wouldn't be surprised to see a down day tomorrow. You know, for those wanting to look at a short-term trade, probably sell a higher opening this evening and skim a few points to the downside. I think the market's still buying time to see what type of production number we come up with on corn and beans here, and that's yet to be determined here over the next 2 months of growing.
What would you be of the mind that a trading range might be, what, on lead, 550 to 675? And 675 would be certainly on a top side.
Well, I would think that this 550 would be support, and I think step one is a move back to $6. When you look at the different retracements and so forth, it's going to be a challenge to get July corn back much above this 590 area.
Right, so at $6, there's awful stiff resistance at that level as well.
I believe so, unless, you know, China comes forward and becomes a big buyer again, and we see this forecast turn back dry. Then we've got the ammunition to go higher. But as a producer with holding inventory yet to be marketed, moves back to $6 would be selling opportunity.
Are you satisfied and feeling better about the bean market than the corn market still?
Oh, it varies day to day, but I think probably now the emphasis is going to be back in the corn from a production point of view. I think corn's probably going to take over leadership here or maybe hit the headlines here. Mm-hmm. As far as beans go, I think that's going to be a little bit further down the road on weather and double crop production prospects.
Anything that we haven't covered that we should have for the day?
No, it's a dynamic market. I think, you know, they're going to read the news wire, and we're going to have bullish news one day and bearish news the next. I think it's a matter of, you know, sticking to your marketing or trading plan and sort of go from there, Todd.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you taking time with us.
Very good. Thanks.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Hey, one other quick note. If you've been thinking about signing up for our Will Ag Follow the Corn Bus Tour, you can get on the wait list now. We sold it out this morning.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate is expected to begin debate this week on a five-year farm and food aid bill that would save $9.3 billion by ending direct payments to farmers and replacing them with subsidized insurance programs for when the weather turns bad or prices go south. About 80% of the bill's half-trillion-dollar cost over the next 5 years represents nutrition programs. About $100 billion would be devoted to crop subsidies and other farm programs. The Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee last month approved a bill that would save $23 billion over the next decade by ending direct payments and consolidating other programs. The current farm bill expires at the end of September. Chinese demand for key commodities fell across the board in May, but the latest trade numbers present a mixed picture. Iron ore stocks held at harbor warehouses fell to 95.7 million metric tons as of last Friday, a fourth consecutive week of decline to the lowest level this year. In the case of soybeans, however, Chinese importers may post a new record intake volume for May. The Ministry of Commerce forecast late last month that the country may import 7.2 million tons of soybeans in May, an upward revision from 5.6 million tons. The Commerce Department today says that companies placed fewer orders to U.S. factories for the second straight month. Orders for factory goods fell 0.6% in April from March. Demand for core capital goods, viewed as a proxy for business investment plans, fell 2.1% in April, following a 2.3% decline in March. Mark Pearson, a longtime Iowa farm broadcaster, died suddenly yesterday at his farm home near East Peru in Madison County, Iowa. A spokesperson from the Madison County Sheriff's Department says Pearson passed away from an apparent heart attack. Pearson, 54 years old, had been host of Iowa Public Television's Market to Market show and also co-hosted WHO-AM Radio's The Big Show, which focused on agricultural news. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Now, up next, as I'm sure you're very well aware, the price of corn and soybeans in Chicago has plummeted. I'll have more on the fundamentals of supply and demand that have turned commodities lower. First and foremost, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good, the growing season in the United States has gotten off to a fast and very good start. He lays out the supply and demand picture this way.
We've gotten off to a good start, and particularly with corn, indications that we're going to have a lot more acreage. So the background is a big crop coming is the expectation right now. Supply picture around the world is a little more mixed. We know we had problems with soybeans in South America. We had a small Argentine corn crop, a big Brazilian corn crop. It looks like the Ukraine has exportable supplies of corn. Wheat production around the world down from last year. So the supply side is kind of a mixed picture, but I think there is a lot of concern on the demand side of commodities in general, stemming from the financial and debt situation in Europe, but including a slowdown in the economies in China and probably India, and our own problems with job growth and economic growth here domestically. So there's this kind of overall view that supplies are adequate to surplus and that demand is probably weakening overall because of the world economic situation.
Still, the world economic situation, Europe in particular, was not great last summer and fall, and the price of commodities was much stronger. The difference may be that the economies of Asia have begun to slow. Well, that slowdown, says Darrell Good, is creating a demand-side problem for U.S. corn and soybean exports.
I don't think anyone is really suggesting that those economies are going to go into recession, but we've become accustomed to a very rapid rate of economic growth, and that's resulted in larger livestock production, larger meat consumption, increased feed demand, and it appears all of that is slowing to some extent. And so the growth doesn't go negative, perhaps, but it certainly slows down dramatically from what we've been experiencing the last several years.
The slowdown in growth, i.e. demand for U.S. commodities overseas, coupled with the really good start to the growing season, is mirrored in Chicago futures. They've come down. Even so, Good cautions, it's very, very early in the Northern Hemisphere growing season, and as the weather changes, so can the price outlook. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Frozen Yogurt Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1845, Hatch's sowing machine for wheat, oats, and other grasses was first demonstrated. The machine could sow up to 25 acres a day, and it cost just $40. In 1872, Robert Cheesbrough of New York patented a method for making Vaseline. In 1895, African-American inventor Joseph Lee patented a machine for breadcrumbing. It was intended for use by restaurants to crumb large quantities of bread scraps. In 1907, the automatic washer and dryer were introduced. And in 1936, Sylvan Goldman invented the shopping cart. He got the idea from a wooden folding chair. Wheels were placed where the bottom of the chair legs were, and in place of the chair seat, Goldman stacked two metal baskets on top of each other. At first, customers were reluctant to use the new contraption, so Goldman hired fake shoppers so customers could see just how useful the new cart could be. A few years later, Goldman came up with the shopping cart nesting design that is still in use today. And that's this day in agricultural history. Thank you.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the weather forecast. The folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Mark Russo on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, for about a month and a half, I have been riding my motorcycle back and forth to the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. It was a little cool this morning, and then I had to go home mid-morning, and it was a little wet. But I don't suppose that's all that bad. Looks like I'll be able to ride my bike again tomorrow and the rest of the week, won't I?
You're exactly right here, Todd. And the pattern coming up over the next couple of weeks features fairly dry weather here across much of the state of Illinois, as the more active weather here coming up across the country is really going to be concentrated down across the southern part of the country. So that includes areas such as the Delta, Southeast, and then on into the Plains region. In fact, even the Northern Plains is part of this active pattern. But kind of the Midwest is somewhat of a no-man's land here over the next couple of weeks. So as a result, much of the Midwest will be in a distinct below-normal precip pattern here. And at least for some of the areas that have already been on the dry side here going into this dry stretch, and with temperatures now beginning to heat up again, especially as we get into later on this week and over the upcoming weekend, certainly we'll see more crop moisture needs here increasing and putting more emphasis on rain kicking in across the Midwest during the second half of June.
Well, given all that, you better recap what we picked up in the way of precipitation across the Midwest and who got the most and who got the least over the weekend.
Yeah, well, over the weekend here, we saw at least the most significant rain here occurred in areas of more the southern plains picked up more of your significant rains here, but specifically in the Midwest, really it was pretty dry across most areas, exception of a few pockets here and there of central northern Illinois that picked up right around 0.4 inches. You had more significant rains, a bit more widespread in the areas of Ohio, but you really had to go to the southern plains, Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas Panhandle, and then down into the Delta region, namely northeastern Arkansas and western Tennessee, that saw more significant rainfall. So,
of the five primary corn-growing states, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota, how did they fare, and who's still in need of rainfall?
Yeah, it's a variable situation here across the Midwest. We have some swaths of acreage that have received above normal rain over the past 30 days. Other swaths have received below normal rain, with some of your driest areas being in the sections of Indiana, Ohio, and then even some small swaths in portions of Iowa as well. Minnesota has been one of your wetter areas here of late, but all in all, it's quite a variable situation here, at least the way that rainfall has trended over the past 30 days.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. You can always hear us again at willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.